because we're right now in 21 days of prayer. Mm-hmm. Our Tuesday nights are really going to center around the topic of prayer. Mm-hmm. And this is will be the primary way that the Outlet community, from our beginning, we will have midweek Bible study. Mm-hmm. We're going to come right there to your house, to your living room. And throughout the month, I'm going to really be coming back to you all and also coming to our church with different opportunities where you can help us in hosting online Bible studies here in Atlanta. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Melissa.
Traffic is crazy.
It is.
And we are so blessed to be in the heart of the city, but have service on Sunday. So if we had service in the middle of the week, it would be almost impossible. Yeah. You would have to leave your house about 5 or 6 o'clock to make it at 7:30 in a 20 to 30 mile radius of our particular campus.
See, it's this traffic is why we need 21 days of prayer.
Yes. to deal with it, especially going back to school.
Yes.
And online is where we are going to just, it allows us, wherever you are, we see people tuning in from Dallas. I know there's some people tuning in from St. Louis. Wherever you are, we do not want geography to be a reason why you aren't able to participate with the outlet. Mm-hmm. We believe the outlet, everyone needs an outlet. Everyone needs a place where they feel safe,
absolutely,
where there's an opportunity to create and foster authentic, life-giving relationships.
Absolutely.
So our heart really is to, wherever you're tuning in from, wherever you can tune in from, we want to put an outlet in that area because the outlet starts with you.
Yes.
So that is something that we are definitely looking forward to. Again, welcome everyone while everybody's really hopping on because we're getting used to.
I don't know. Do we market? I don't know. Maybe
so. So now, you know, we really just, you know,
just
we're gonna get better.
It's lovely.
We're gonna do what we're asked to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Ash, do you want to kick off? Just
So today we just wanted
get
to
some
do
history behind.
This
the prayer workshop.
So I have in my hand our curriculum and our 21 day our prayer workshop at church, and so we hold those every fourth Sunday, and it's once a month. And our next one will be August 26th. If you want to get in on that at 9 a.m. And our people have really been hungry to learn more about prayer. And we put together this curriculum just thinking it'd be a wonderful thing to do. And the classes have just grown. We've been really breaking down the Word of God, learning more about prayer and the importance of prayer, the power of prayer. It's been awesome. So, and it's kind of like that classroom feel where it's not lecture style, it's more like conversational style,
right?
Which I feel like is so much better because people learn better talking and like getting it out and sharing ideas and perspectives and, you know, what they see, the revelation of the Word of God. It's been awesome. So
my wife and her team that she's been working with to create the prayer workshop, they originally said it was going to be 3 sessions. But when I was able to really go into it and just kind of make sure everything was just lining up with what we were going to teach, I realized the prayer workshop could easily be 9 sessions. And we actually need to bring the prayer workshop on the Facebook Live. So that's what we're going to do together for the month
of
August.
That's what we're working toward. Absolutely.
We are going to have prayer workshops on Tuesday nights, really building up to the final one in this season on August 26th. Mm-hmm. But we want to give you a taste of what the outlet experiences once a month on Sunday. So let's go ahead and get right into prayer. Oh, before we get into prayer. If you have questions about prayer, feel free to drop your questions in here. I believe that prayer is one of the most powerful tools.
Oh, yes, it is.
And powerful privileges that we've been given as Christians here on this earth.
Absolutely.
To really be able to invite God's will to be done in our lives and the lives of others and in the lives of this earth. Yeah. However, because it hadn't been taught in masses in the way where it speaks to a conversation, it speaks to a relationship, people refuse to pray because they feel like they got to jump through all these hoops. So we really want to debunk a lot of the myths
absolutely
behind prayer so that you can look forward to your time in prayer. So buckle up, but if you have any questions, please jot them down, right here in the comment section, and we will make sure that we answer them.
Yes, so the first point we wanted to bring up today and talk about and discuss with you guys is prayer is simply a relationship with God. And that sounds so simple when I say it, but it is the honest to goodness truth. You know, you were talking about earlier, people don't want to pray because they feel like they got to jump through a bunch of hoops in order to pray. I remember feeling like I didn't want to pray, not because I didn't love the Lord, but because I felt judged that I maybe wasn't doing it right. And especially when it came to praying in front of the masses. Oh, if somebody asked me to pray in front of the masses, I completely freaked out. I don't know about you guys. If someone asked you to pray, you know, you're at a family gathering or you're at a community gathering and someone says, oh, hey, could you, you know, lead us in prayer? I remember y'all, I would just like, my eyes would get big. I would almost get anxiety because I felt that I had to lace like 50 scriptures in one time in a prayer, and I had to like sound holy and sound, you know, official and eloquent and sound like the King James Version. And that's not how God wired us. God wants us to come with Him with sincerity and honesty and simplicity. You know, you can quote a whole bunch of scriptures and your heart not be in that prayer.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who have a lot of head knowledge about scriptures, and that's great to know scripture. But if you don't believe that in your heart, if you're not speaking to God out of a pure place and with pure motive, you know, you can't fool God. You know, He knows. He knows you. He created you. He knew you before you were born. He knew you in your mother's womb, is what the scripture says. So He knows your thoughts, and so He knows what you're going to say before you say it. And so it's always good that we come to the Lord in honesty and in sincerity. And I love one of my favorite people to read about in the Bible is David. Because in Psalms, he really goes through a gamut of emotions, and you can so identify with David because of it. Like, I mean, he goes through anxiety, he goes through anger, he's at one point mad at God, he's at one point asking God why He abandoned him. And you know, this sounds really bad to say, but one thing I can say about David is he was real with God. Yeah. He was honest with God, and God could meet him at that point and at that need where he can. And honestly, y'all, when we're honest with the Lord, that's when He can work with us. You know, I remember going to my doctor, and she put me, like, I was supposed to be losing a couple pounds. We can all, you know. And then my doctor was like, Ashley, did you stay on this weight loss journey? And I was like, and at one point I wanted to, like, you know, make it better than it was. And then she says, Ashley, I cannot help you unless you're honest with me. And I said, well, okay. No, I fell off the wagon a couple of times here and there. But she was absolutely right. Unless I was willing to be honest with her, she really couldn't help me because I was still in a level of pride.
Yeah.
And pride always comes before a fall. You're never going to receive what you need walking in pride.
And that's interesting, because it's amazing how we want to hide things from God as if He already doesn't know. And when we're open and when we're honest with the Lord, we're actually inviting Him to be able to handle the situation better than we're handling it at the moment.
Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, it's a level of pride. It's a level of, okay, God, I can handle this. You know what? I don't want to trouble you with this small issue I have going on. I know you've got this entire world to run, so little old me doesn't need to bother you with my situation. But God is saying, I'm waiting to help, but I've given you the authority to let me know if I can help. And that's what prayer does every single morning, is it opens up our hearts, it opens up our mind. I am a work in progress every single day as it relates to my own prayer life, because you just get up, and because of your to-do list, because of what you have to do, I realize now that not only having a church, but also a for-profit entity, there's so much that can be done on a day-to-day basis. But I've learned that wisdom will go further than an entire day of self-effort in my own strength. Oh, Shonda. Hey.
Wisdom will go further.
Wisdom will go further than an entire day in my own self-strength.
Yeah, and I love how you said that. Little old me. And then that how we think God sees us. Oh, little old me. God says you're valuable. God says you're more precious than rubies. God says You know, his eye was on you. You're his workmanship. You're his masterpiece. It's not a little old. No, it's you're everything to God. God loves you and he created you with purpose. And it's just, you just said it, but it's just it's so true. And I think sometimes I'm even guilty of saying, oh Lord, you don't really care about this little thing. But God so cares. He so cares about every area of our life. He desires to be a part of every area of our life. It's just us willing to allow him to be that, truly, in every area.
So the main topic that we're dealing with tonight is that prayer is a relationship.
Yes.
And what we want to do is kind of open the floor for some feedback as we are talking today. But what are some key elements or qualities that you would say make up a great relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a family relationship, whether it's a dating relationship or inside of a marriage? For you personally, what makes up a great relationship? And while they're coming through with that, what are some things that you've noticed inside of prayer that helps to make prayer and build on our relationship to God in prayer?
The biggest thing for me, and you all, you know, may have say it different, but intimacy is the big thing for me. And even in my friendships, I don't feel like I know you that well until I know you on an intimate level. Like, that's big for me. Like, my personality, I feel like I have to, like, know everything about you and just know how you're doing, know how you are, know your family members. But to me, intimacy, and I think Bishop T.D. Jakes said it one time like this, intimacy is seeing into me. Being able to see into me. Yes.
So we're getting right now, on top of intimacy, we're seeing
constant communication. Absolutely.
We're seeing daily communication. We're seeing candor. That's a big word. What's candor?
Honesty.
Frankness.
Being real.
Oh, I didn't know.
Keeping it 100.
Y'all are educated on this feed tonight. So we have communication. We have intimacy. We have honesty. And these require us to go beyond surface. We can only be surface for so long until we have to actually tell it like it is be honest and be open.
And that communication piece is big too, because we don't know somebody we ain't talking to. And that's true. Like, we know the Lord, and the Lord can know us through our communication with him. We begin to hear his voice clearly through communication with him. We start to know what he sounds like, even reading his word. He's communicating with us all the time. It's a wonderful thing. We have a question.
Oh, that's a great question, as we're talking about relationship. And so if we could break down just being in a relationship, let's just take the one that you all are looking at between my wife and I. You know, it's like saying, is there a best time for us to talk? Now, I would say, yeah, my time, which is, I'm a morning person. She's not.
I like to talk all the time. I'm an all the time talker. If something is happening to me throughout the day, like, let's just say I'm out and about and he's somewhere else and something happens to me, I'm probably going to call him and like, did you know that I saw such and such and then this happened and then that happened? Like, that's me. Like, I am the person that likes to talk all the time. And that's what I do with the Lord as well. I'm constantly talking to him in my car, under my breath, at the grocery store, wherever. And so for me, prayer is kind of a ongoing thing.
And God, he's a morning, noon, night, middle of the night.
Absolutely.
Oh, I just thought about something. Oh, this is an added bonus.
Added bonus.
So I'm learning just here recently that God wants people who he can trust to pray out his will on the earth. And so there are times where, I don't know if you've been there, where you've just been awake in the middle of the night for no reason.
No idea why.
It wasn't because you had, you know, a buffet before you went to sleep. And I mean, you legitimately are, you know, wanting to be asleep, but you're just wide awake. And what I've learned is that when the Lord wakes us up in those times, I believe that he is looking for someone that can pray out his will at that moment. The Bible says God searches to and fro this entire earth, looking to see who he can show himself strong to. So I want to encourage you that if you're awakened in the morning, before you roll over or turn on the television or keep watching the rerun of Golden Girls or whatever you like, ESPN, SportsCenter.
Golden Girls. Don't do my Golden Girls.
I got to do them. Every night. But I want to encourage you to pray. Just pray, whether it's in English or if you're filled with baptism of Holy Spirit, just begin to pray in other tongues.
Absolutely.
And what you're able to do is allow the Lord to have access there. But to really answer that question, the best time to pray is figure out, are you a morning person? Are you a night person?
Yeah.
When it comes to the Lord, talk to him like you would your best friend.
Your best friend. Absolutely.
And someone that's always ready to talk. Now, in communication, you know, we say good communication makes up relationships.
Yes.
But monologue, if it's just monologue alone, that destroys relationships. I don't know if you all have relationships where when you talk to someone, they're not really interested to hear what you have to say. They're just trying to get out what they have to say.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there on the other side of that conversation like, okay, let me just sit here and endure this time that we are together. But I believe that God desires communication where not only do we talk, but we allow him to talk back. Sometimes, I mean, I'm a talker.
Like, I am too.
I mean, we are. And nothing makes me more excited to say, you know what? What's on your heart? Talk to me. If someone says that to me, I'm like, oh, yes. But I believe that God is the same way. He wants us to come to him wherever we like to pray, whether you like to pray walking out in nature, or you like to pray while cleaning the house, you like to pray while sitting in your prayer closet or in your prayer chair. I have a prayer chair.
I don't have a prayer closet, but I usually pray in my living room.
I've got a prayer chair. There's a chair inside of our bedroom where I go. And I mean, it's like me and God just talk.
Yeah.
And wherever it is that is easy and is comfortable for you, then just talk to him. And if you had a best friend and, you know, for the purpose of illustration, and it is true, my wife is my best friend, not just saying that just because, but if I love how you describe how we talk to God in this formal tense, and we don't talk to our friends in like this
that. No. Yeah. Our communication to God is not so structured as we always make it out to be. You know, you talk to a friend, you don't say, hi, friend. Oh, I miss you, friend. Oh, you're so great, friend. I mean, like, when you're talking to someone regularly, it's a natural flow from you. And that's what the Lord desires for it to be with him, a very natural flow. Not a, oh, Father in heaven, oh, you know, and then we start doing this, oh, ye shalls, these, and thous. Y'all, if that's not you, then do not do that. Just really be you. You know, and I was telling my auntie this. I was like, I'm a little country, and so I'm, hey, y'all. And so I'm like, hey, God, typically, you know. Not a dear Father, art in heaven kind of thing. Listen, be very natural. Be very you. Don't be so stuck in it has to look like this. It has to sound like this. I have to say this because if I don't say this, then it's not a real prayer. Be natural and be open and be honest and let it flow from you.
Yes.
That's really what I could say because we don't talk to our normal friends like that. We just don't.
And as we delve more into just what we were talking about earlier, we saw just on here, you mentioned intimacy.
Yeah.
We saw constant and daily communication. We saw honesty.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know personally, and this is probably within the last year or two, I would say, I was just kind of having a relationship and just talking with the Lord, and we were just having a conversation. And from my spirit, I heard, how about you call God the Father? Dad.
Oh, yes.
And now, at the time, I was probably like 28, 29.
That happened to you, too?
It did.
I didn't know that. That was my story. I didn't know that happened to you.
Oh, you did?
Look at that. Oh. We found something new about each other.
On camera.
On camera.
I wonder what else we're going to find new.
Oh, no. But no, that exact same thing, I would always approach him, Dear Heavenly Father. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you approach God, Dear Heavenly Father, great. But for me, I'm an intimate girl. That's my thing. And yes, I think the Lord knew that about me and said, Ashley, instead of saying, Dear Heavenly Father, just call me Dad. that's way more intimate than a Heavenly Father somewhere up there. You know, it's like, Dad, it's like you're with me. You don't just call any old body Dad. Like, we don't do that. We just, you know. And for him to have told me that, I said, oh, wow. So I tried it. It felt weird. I'm not going to lie, y'all. That first time I did it, it felt so weird. But the more I kept doing it, the more natural it became. And so it wasn't a thought anymore to say Dad. It was like, oh, no, he's my dad. I know he's my dad. And I treat him as such. I approach him as such. I come to him as I would my dad. Like, I know he's got my back. I know he cares and loves me. Like, there was no doubt in my mind. But that took time and for us to build a relationship where it was comfortability there for me to say that.
Yeah. And for me, my father had died 20 years previous. So there wasn't this physical dad in my life. So that term, hey, Dad,
I'm sure it felt really weird.
Was weird, but I never forget, just instead of my typical Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I thank you, Lord, just for who you are.
Who you are.
And who you said
who
you were.
Be.
And I just said, hey, Dad, I need your help today.
I know, yeah.
There's a lot that's going on, a lot that I'm not sure how it's going to work out. Dad, I've got these situations, and I need some wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Show me what to do, because,
yes, Lord.
Dad, I know you love me. And just by changing Heavenly Father to Dad,
It changed the whole
yeah, vibe
it did.
Of prayer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say that not growing up with a father, specifically in my home throughout my teenage, you know, adolescent and adult years, I just didn't have a frame of reference of a dad who is waiting to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
That was foreign. I think of dads like I see, you know, the majority, the greater majority. Now, there are dads that I know, especially my wife's father, Mr. Perry, who I think is an example of the love of the father.
Yes.
He
has stepped in to be my biological father, honestly, because I didn't know about my biological father for many, many, many years. And so my grandfather, who I call Dad, has stepped in and was amazing to me.
So very few people have the testimony that she has. And so for the greater majority of us, to now try to picture someone we call Dad, this person who is saying, "Would please just open your mouth and tell me what's really going
on.
Give me permission to help you. Give me permission to be what only I can be in your life." That took my mind needing to be renewed. And it really is the work of Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, the reason why we encourage people to be filled with Holy Spirit and to constantly read over scriptures about what Holy Spirit does here in the earth and in our lives, we can just take a thread. The disciples were just nervous that Jesus was about to leave. And he said, hey, no need to be nervous. No need to be afraid. I'm going to send you someone who is just like me
to
be
you.
With you.
Absolutely.
And knowing that he's there, Holy Spirit's job, as according to Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, is to convince us that we truly are children who have a father who unconditionally loves us and wants to help us. That is the role of Holy Spirit.
His job is not to condemn or to bring you to guilt. That's not him. But he's just steadily persuading us, you are righteous, you are holy, you do have it, you are healed. He's constantly persuading us of who we are, constantly telling us who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. That's his job. And oh man, he is diligent at it. And it's really up to us to listen, which I think you hit on it earlier. It's, prayer should never be a monologue. It should always be a two-way conversation. So I know in my personal prayer life, after I'm done spewing and getting it all out and talking to the Lord, I sit in silence for a couple of minutes afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really want to hear what the Lord has to say to me about pertaining to what I was talking about. And usually he's giving me scriptures in my heart, and that's typically how God talks. I think we should talk about that, hearing from God.
Okay.
And I know some people say, well, I don't hear from God, you know. And I will say, I necessarily haven't heard from God audibly, like maybe once in my whole entire life, audibly. I mean, have you heard from God
often, but that's not my most dependent upon way.
Yes.
But the reason why I hear, hey, Gloria, the reason why I hear audibly is because I'm hard-headed. I'm stubborn.
Well.
And so God has to get my attention in any way that he knows how to get my attention. And he is like, hey, no. And I'm like, oh, don't have to yell. My gosh.
Yeah, I haven't heard a whole bunch of audible voices, but I have heard still small voices. And usually it's typically reminding me of a scripture. So it's like a, you know, if I'm doing something or if I'm seeing something, he'll drop something in my spirit, like, turn, this is Ephesians 2:8, this is this, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay. And that's usually how he talks to me, is through scripture a lot of times that I'm confused or something on. And sometimes he'll just give me words that comfort me sometimes, but it's not an audible thing. It's more of a...
peace.
Yeah.
Inward peace. And that is the primary way God speaks to us, is that even if there's some questions in our mind, in our heart,
we have peace.
We're at rest. We're at peace. Even if our mind is like, I don't get it. We just, you know what? Let's take this step forward. Mm-hmm. I have peace to hold tight, you know. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, let's just say that you're at a place where you're at a fork in the road and you don't know what to do. Sit still. Sit.
So are you saying sitting still is better than moving a wrong direction?
Sitting
or
still.
Or moving a direction?
Sitting still is better than just making up a direction to go in.
Because I've heard that way, and I've heard another way too, where people say, move, keep moving, so you don't get stagnant, and then he'll direct you in that way. So,
well, when we actually sitting still, the work now is not so much progression, but it's the maturity that's happening within us.
Oh.
It takes maturity to, when we feel like we should be doing something but we aren't sure, to just sit right where we are, going back to what the last thing God said, and then working through what's inside of us. There's a whole lot of work that goes into being patient.
It is.
That is work. Being patient. What's going on, Ken? When we are in a world that's like, go, 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 and we don't have any type of direction to go, and we're like, let's sit still.
But everybody else is going, so we start comparing ourselves to everybody else.
Yep.
We get a little frantic-y when we're not moving as fast as so-and-so.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. But I love what you said about hearing and going back to what the Lord told you.
Yep.
That's so good, because some of us will say, well, the Lord hasn't spoken to me since this, whatever day. And I would say to them, well, go back to what he said to you on that day.
And just sit right there.
And see if you're doing that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that's just like us. If someone comes to us for advice and we keep giving them some advice and we realize they're not doing anything we say, at some point we're just going to stop talking and say, well, okay, well, I just need you to do with that thing first, because that's going to help you out a whole lot. And so I think the Lord gives us direction, and until we finish that, complete that, then he'll say, all right, here's your next step.
Now, while she was just talking, Holy Spirit also brought something up for somebody that is either watching or will be watching. The Lord already told you what to do, and you didn't do it. And you keep going back to him, asking him, Lord, what should I do? Hoping that he's going to change his instruction. He's not.
Mm-hmm.
If he told you and led and showed you in times of prayer, in the word, there was confirmation to what he said, specific, and it lines up with scripture. But because of fear, you don't want to do it. So you're like, okay, it's kind of like one of those slot machines. If I go back to the slot machine, it's going to show me a different lineup. No, God is consistent. There are things that the Lord told me to do, and I was so scared.
Or uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable to do. Yeah.
And I just act like he didn't say anything, just kept on going. But on the inside, I knew I wasn't really fulfilled, and And I knew I wasn't really where God really was trying to take me. However, I just said, okay, let me go back to God again. And he said the exact same thing. And I said, well, that wasn't the word that I wanted. So let me come back. And the Lord will not change his mind concerning his plan for you.
Mm-mm.
So when you hear that word, just proceed to act on it.
I agree. I like that a lot. When you hear something, do it. Let's be, and I think the scripture said, doers of the word and not hearers only. If you hear a rhema word from the Lord, can you talk about what rhema means? I just said that and probably lost people.
All right. So when we look at a scripture, just based off of in the Bible, is logos. That is the written word of God. When we read something, it's just something we're reading. That's logos, God's written word. However, when there's like a light or a flashlight that shined on that word, and scripture mm-hmm. stands out to you in a way that you'd never seen it before. And it's like, I've been reading this for the last 10 years.
And didn't see that.
And did not see that. Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's called rhema.
Yeah.
That's the understanding of God's word. That's when the Bible says the word brings light. The word is like the light bulb comes on.
You get it. It's like you read it and you get it.
And no one can take away rhema from you.
No one can.
And so that's why it's important in this season of 21 days of prayer, of getting in the word. As you're getting into the word, and we are encouraging our community and everyone that's partnering with us in these 21 days to take at least an hour. If it's 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night, or 1 hour at one time, however you do it,
mm-hmm.
take that time, because while you're just minding your own business or while you're reading the scripture, there's going to be rhema that comes to you and gives you answers to things that you've been praying for or didn't even know that you needed. Absolutely. But God wants to bring that
and
to
I
you.
And I want to coattail off that. If you do get a rhema word, write it down. Please write it down, because you're doing so much that you might forget. So write it down. And then when you see contrary circumstances, you're able to go back to what the Lord told you and say, but no, whatever I'm going through, it's going to pass. And my rhema word will come into manifestation. It will help keep you in faith while you're praying for whatever you're praying for. Yes. It'll help keep you steady. His word. It'll be good.
Yes.
So write it down.
So we have come to the end of tonight's online Bible study during our 21 days of prayer. We really thank you all for tuning in, and thank you all for being a part and sharing and liking and commenting. And for those who are watching it at a later date, thank you so much for hitting play and being a part. But this doesn't have to stop. This doesn't have to end. We are in a season of 21 days of prayer, mm-hmm. and there's a link right there in our status section that takes you right to a place where you can sign up for our daily devotionals and go right to them. And you can also join us in our community reading. We're having a great time just going through the book of Proverbs this mm-hmm. month. Mm-hmm. And we want to invite you out to one of our gatherings right here in the city of Atlanta at 10 a.m. There's a series the Lord just gave me to be able to minister to the hearts and lives of everyone. So even if you're not in the area, go ahead and download our podcast, and you can stay current with the series, because I believe the Lord is speaking something during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just humbling to be that mouthpiece that God desires to speak through. And so I don't take it lightly. What we have seen in our community is just...
since in the 2 months we've been open have been amazing. The testimonies that have come forth have been amazing. I mean, people weren't even looking for promotion in certain areas and got promoted. It's just been supernatural, truly, and it's nobody but God.
And we don't think it's limited to just our geographic area and just for people who put their name on our church roll. We believe that this is what God wants to do throughout his entire body.
Yes.
So allow us to be a mouthpiece. Allow us to share life with you. Allow us to come into your homes, to your cars, wherever you may mm-hmm. be, to let you know that God is for you, no matter where you are in this world.
Yes, he is.
Allow us to share God's love with you. And we thank you all for letting us do just that.
Amen.